where you go. We gave Cody the, Curtis the opportunity to say Happy Mother's Day. Cody, can't leave you out, partner.
Yeah, I'd love to say happy birthday to my mother, Jana Pace, and best mom out there.
Best mom.
And my mother-in-law, Sydney Omer. She's amazing.
Hey, you know what? You've been well-trained.
Oh, boy.
And to my wife, Chelsea Pace.
Okay. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. We're going to cover a couple facts on bees that are extremely interesting. I've always been fascinated by the animal. Before we do that, we're going to bring Mark in Tempe, who's been holding with a question, a little off topic of the insect, but on topic of home improvement, which is what we are, as well as a call-in radio program. Mark, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. So my wife and I had a leak down at the bottom of our shower. Got all that torn out. There was extensive drywall damage and stuff down there. So my question is, I've torn out the shower pan that was down there, and it's down to now basically the concrete foundation. My question is, before I put the mud pre-slope floor in, should I put a roofing paper underneath that, or I've heard that maybe I should actually coat the concrete with a thin layer of thinset so that the mud will adhere better to it.
Well, Mark, let me ask you a question. You're in Tempe. You're going to step into this shower? Is there a curb, and is the shower itself elevated off your existing concrete slab inside your home?
The shower is sunken below the actual floor level of the house.
Okay. So your first step is correct. You want to pre-slope the shower pan with a mud-set concrete base, and then you want to install a shower pan liner, which is a sheet goods product about 60 mils thick. You don't want to cut the perimeter corners. You want to fold those corners tightly. In some jurisdictions in the valley, that process requires a building inspection process to verify that the shower pan is watertight prior to the application of thinset and the tile on top of that. So you don't want to use any kind of a mastic or material other than or a troweled-on material or anything like that. You want to go with a sheet vinyl shower pan material over that pre-slope concrete.
Okay, so but regarding the pre-slope, though, do I need to put something underneath that so that the mud actually adheres to the concrete, or should it stick?
The concrete pan will adhere to that concrete slab, so you don't really need to put anything more down there. The waterproofing membrane is the shower pan material itself.
And for Tempe, product location?
Oh, gosh, you can get those in the big box stores. There's a couple of tile stores. There's Monterey Tile down on Baseline. There's a lot of different tile suppliers that would sell that pan material. And it comes in a 5 or 6 foot wide roll, and you can just buy it by the lineal foot, depending on how big your shower pan is.
Mark, we appreciate the call as you progress along that project. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you, and we'll help you along the way. Now, we gave you a little teaser a moment ago, and I want to get to it before our next break. Bees. First off, when you think bee, you think honey. But as I understand, they don't make honey. Is that fair?
Well, we could put it this way. They don't make honey. They throw up nectar a few times, let it sit, turns into honey. So it's basically bee puke.
Bee puke.
Which is delicious, right?
I love it.
Okay.
Yeah, no kidding.
I have it in my daily diet.
My favorite insect in the entire world, and they are really amazing creatures. Want me to share a few?
Yes.
Okay. One thing about it is just think of this. So in a course of a lifetime, a worker bee should produce 1/12 of a teaspoon of honey.
How long of a lifetime? I know that's kind of hard to say.
A few months, but or one season. But what the interesting thing is that it a productive hive can make and store up to 2 pounds of honey a day.
2 pounds of honey.
So that's a lot of bees working.
Yeah.
If one in a lifetime is only making
1/12
of a teaspoon.
Of a teaspoon. Oh, my goodness.
So in a single trip, a worker, she's going to visit 50 to 100 flowers. And she'll return carrying half of her weight and pollen and nectar and flying in ways that science doesn't understand that they're able to fly because the way they're shaped and how heavy they are when they fly. So,
now you were telling about the communication for, you know, basically directions. You go get the nectar here.
Yeah, bees are just incredible. They do, sometimes it's called the figure eight dance or the waggle dance. But a bee, she will go out. All the bees that you see flying outside that are around flowers and stuff, those are all females. The males stay inside, take care of the babies, make babies, and they're the nannies. And so that's what they're in there doing. So the females are out flying. They'll go out and they'll look for nectar. And they'll use the position of the sun to navigate. And so they'll monitor their direction. They'll monitor their fuel consumption, their energy, and the time of day. And they'll come back and they'll be able to, by the way they dance, the speed and direction, tell the other bees exactly where to fly, what direction to the sun, for what distance, and what the flower's going to smell
after,
like.
After now, I'm going to Heber. Can you give me bee coordinates to get there?
I'll start doing the waggle dance.
Watch the dance.
Yeah, too bad you guys can't see it.
And home improvement advice, as well as special offers and discounts you can't find anywhere else. That's RosieOnTheHouse.com.